we have the distinct pleasure this morning of turning a takeaway contributor into a takeaway host, Patrick Henry Bass, filling in for Jen Hockenberry this morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
Well, we want to talk about the Republican Party. Why? Well, all these freshman legislators who are in Washington trying to learn how to become congresspeople are already having clashes with the GOP. And here to talk about it, we have our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Where goes the Republican Party? I mean, it appears to me that we're already getting, even before they take their seats, even before the lame duck session begins, we're getting arguments between the Tea Party elected candidates and the GOP stalwarts. Right, Todd?
Sure, and months before they take their seats, because let's say everybody seems to forget that they don't take their seats this next class until after January. This lame duck Congress is the old Congress. We expected some of this. There were a lot of insurgent candidates around the country who primaried and knocked off Republican candidates that were backed by the Republican establishment. There's still a race going on. Hey, how about it up in Alaska? Lisa Murkowski is an interesting case who was the Republican candidate because she was the incumbent, lost. Then Mitch McConnell backed the Tea Party guy.
Joe
now
Miller.
They're in a fight. And right, Joe Miller. And now Lisa Murkowski may come back. So those relationships are all already a little bit strange. Yeah.
Let's talk about the two things which are kind of causing strain in the GOP. The first one is this earmarks
yes.
legislation, which is about to expire. And Rand Paul is saying, I don't care what the Republican caucus says. I'm not going to vote for earmarks. And the GOP, as a party, is saying, wait, we can't renew this pork, anti-pork legislation.
Well, it's going to come down to a fight probably next week on Tuesday. The Republican conference in the Senate is going to meet and have a vote within their conference to say, are we going to unilaterally ban earmarks? The Democrats aren't going to ban them. So, yes, Rand Paul, Jim DeMint is the ringleader on this, the conservative Republican senator from South Carolina who bankrolled a lot of Tea Party conservative candidates. They're going to have a vote in the Republican conference to say, do we unilaterally do this? DeMint has probably 12 or 14 senators with him. He needs several more. Now, his foe on this is the very leader, Mitch McConnell, who, yes, he's conservative, but he's on the Appropriations Committee. He's a famous earmarker.
Right.
He brings home the pork to Kentucky. He's not willing to part with them. He says it's important to circumvent the administration and unelected bureaucrats, as he calls them, to direct spending the way he wants to, not the way the Obama administration wants to. So they're going to have this fight. And I don't usually make predictions, but this is going to be an interesting bellwether of the clash between the conservative surge and the Republican Party establishment. Earmarks is an important way, like it or not,
right.
of the way Congress
well,
works.
Well, but it does look as though the GOP is already flexing muscle a little and that the White House is ready to make a compromise on letting the Bush-era tax cuts continue rather than expire.
Well, they're going to have to make a compromise eventually. And the question is, do they do this in the lame duck session or do they wait until after the election to decide which of these tax cuts to extend? Washington got in a bit of a tizzy yesterday when David Axelrod, the senior advisor to the president, suggested that the Democrats may be bending a little more than people thought. But negotiations haven't even really started on that yet. And what they're talking about now is possibly extending all tax cuts for 2 years, not just the tax cuts for the wealthy, and then get rid of all the tax increases for the middle class. They may extend all of them out for 2 years and kind of take the edge off this fight a bit. We don't know how that's going to pan out yet. There's going to be a lot of counter pressure from the left to indeed let some of the tax cuts for the rich expire. So that book isn't written yet, but there's a lot of pressure coming from both sides.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. And you know, the Tea Party arguably started under the George W. Bush administration, and we now have a new book which reflects on those years.
The purpose of this book is to state reality. I hope Mr. Kane reads the book. That's why I've written the book. He can draw whatever conclusion they want. There's a lot of tough moments in the book. All I ask is that people take a look.
Well, we also asked somebody to take a look. Russ Baker, who's author of Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, America's Invisible Government, and the Hidden History of the Last 50 Years. And Russ, you read the whole Bush memoir.
I've just pretty much finished it.
And okay, so first of all, let's talk about his response. Does he anywhere in there talk about the sort of angst within the GOP which spawned the Tea Party?
I didn't see it. Maybe I missed that. I would say no. Very much what this book is it's an attempt to not only reposition himself for a legacy, but actually reposition the Republican Party to come back into power. It's a very careful calculation. He takes on all the big remaining bogeymen that remain, and he says, hey, no, here's what really happened. He touches on a number of the key points, Katrina and so forth, and the idea is to move on, and I think to set things up so that his brother can seek the presidency in 2012.
Wow. Russ Patrick, Henry Bass here. Which Republican Party? Because he was certainly far more conservative Republican than his father was. And the Tea Parties are conservatives 3.0. So which Republican Party is he trying to...
You know, he actually wasn't that much more conservative than his father. When you really look at the implementation of policies and the attitude toward government itself, the function of government, they were much more similar. In my book, Family of Secrets, I actually talk about the closeness between the father and the son, which they deliberately obscured in order to make the son more electable. But what
it was a conspiracy for them to pretend that they didn't get along as father and son?
They had to do that because the father, as you'll remember, was
unpopular.
Defeated for re-election. That's right. And so they said the father was too stiff. They thought of as an Easterner. So the son, they worked very, very hard. They got him a ranch, the cowboy boots, the chewing tobacco, the whole number.
The pork rinds.
Yeah. And, well, that was the father, but yeah. It didn't work very well.
So what in this book struck you as surprise? I mean, you know a lot about not only this man, but this family.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he elides all the important points. He only touches very, very briefly on this question of whether he went AWOL from the military. And you can see the way he's handling it very, very slyly. In Family of Secrets, I actually have chapters of new material on there, I think documenting conclusively that he did just take off and they papered over it. But some of these other issues, Hurricane Katrina, for example, he only talks very, very briefly about Michael Brown, but nobody ever got to the bottom of what were they doing putting a horse inspector running the agency, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And I looked into that, and that was really about their desire to basically defund and destroy domestic agencies. They simply didn't want these agencies to exist. All the funding was supposed to go to the Pentagon and a few other favored ones. Domestic programs, forget about it.
So you didn't get any of your burning questions answered?
I didn't get any of them answered. In fact, here's another one. On Iraq, he makes the point that Rumsfeld and Cheney were sort of pushing him into Iraq, but actually, in Family of Secrets, I interview his own ghostwriter from 1999 when he was running for president, and this man told me that when they were discussing what Bush intended to do as president, Bush actually turned to him and said, if I'm elected president, I'm going to invade Iraq.
Oh, Russ Baker, author of Family of Secrets. We're going to continue this conversation with Russ Baker in just a moment about the new Bush memoir, Decision Point, in just a moment. Stay with us for that.